Blog Talk Radio.
Hi folks, Mick Rizzo with Ray Pelletier, America's business attitude coach and best-selling author of Permission to Win, with a gift for you. We're pleased to present you with this copy of Ray's highly acclaimed audio newsletter, The Winner's Edge, How to Have the Best Year of Your Life. In it, Ray conveys the essence of his January 1st Permission to Win philosophy in short stories and vignettes that have become his trademark. So please, enjoy the tape, listen to it several times, share it with your family and friends. Here now, Ray Pelletier, giving you The Winner's Edge.
Hey, Mick, I'm excited to share the gift with everybody who's listening. If you're listening to this tape, what we want to do is give you a tool that you can go ahead and maintain a very positive attitude every single day during this next year. Mick, back in 1977, I attended a conference. It was actually a national convention, a sales convention in Marco Island, Florida. And it was really exciting because the company that I was with at the time had their convention January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And I'll never forget about how excited I was and how brilliant I thought the company was that they brought everybody together in the beginning of the new year. No excuses, we could start with a fresh slate. And I'll never forget driving away from the Marco Island Beach Hotel saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if every day could be January 1st? And that's the message we're going to share with people today, to help them win today, tomorrow, and every day during this year, making every day January 1st.
Okay, my next question has got to be, what is January 1st?
I believe that every single day of your life can be January 1st. It doesn't matter what happened in your life yesterday, good or bad, that's December 31st, and God didn't promise us a tomorrow anyway, so we can make the decision to make every single day of our life January 1st.
But you know, Ray, we make those resolutions, and within a few days, there we are flat on our face.
Do you know, that's what I hear from everybody. You know, I've made New Year's resolutions for years, but New Year's resolutions don't work because it seems like January 4th, 5th, 6th, or 7th, I fall flat on my face. Well, first of all, I think failing's a positive. At least if you're falling flat on your face, you're falling forward, so you're making progress. You need to dust off and keep on going. But your positive self-talk needs to be, it doesn't matter, at least I made some progress. I once had a very close friend of mine who was an alcoholic. And unfortunately, after 2 or 3 days, he slipped and he started drinking again. Instead of being negative and saying, oh, well, here he goes again, what I did is said, hey, man, you had 2 or 3 days of victory. Let's start over again. And giving himself permission, he was able to go ahead and make that new commitment, that new start right then. It doesn't really matter if you fall on your face. It matters what you do after you've fallen on your face. Do you get up, dust off, and keep on going? It's your decision. So right now, just like the question we heard, hey, I fall on my face, what do? You start over again that moment. It doesn't matter. What you need to do is to program your brain brand new and say, you know what, I'm starting again right now. But let's talk about resolutions. What do you resolve to do? If you're listening to us today, perhaps you're saying, I want to lose weight. I want to drink less. I want to spend more time with my family. I want to stop procrastinating. I want to accomplish things in a shorter period of time. I want to accomplish things at home that I know that I need to do. Well, if you're responding that way, you're like the rest of us. And here's a few tips that will make a difference for you. The first thing you need to do is to make the decision. Remember these words, not to decide is to decide. Why don't you make a commitment right now that no matter what, this is going to be the best year of your life? Make that commitment to yourself. Do you know you're responsible for your life? No one else is. Why don't you have the most awesome year of your life? Doesn't matter when you're listening to this tape. Perhaps it's just before New Year's Day. Perhaps it's just after. But if you could program your mind as I have, you can make every day January 1st. So when you wake up in the morning, you're saying, guess what? It's January 1st. No more excuses.
Ray, do you think that people are programmed to fail because when they do make resolutions, the list is so long, there's so many things they want to accomplish, that it would be impossible for even Superman to do it?
Well, I think any kind of a goal, you need to go ahead and break down into bite-sized pieces. I say, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You know, you can't consume the whole thing at one sitting. What you have to do is make realistic goals. I talk about all kinds of goal settings in our program, but the key right now is to say, wait a minute, do I have a specific goal? Do I know what it is? Well, how does that play in? Do you know, I challenge everybody listening to us right now that the best thing they could do for themselves is to have a vision for this year. Stephen Covey in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People says, you need to begin with the end in mind. And that's my challenge for people right now. What do you want to say on December 31st of this year to be able to say, this is exactly what I accomplished this year in my life. This is what I wanted to accomplish. What's that goal line? What do you want to be? What do you want to achieve? Where do you want to be at in your life? Let's begin with the end in mind and say exactly what it is we want. Then you can set that strategy living daily, every single day, as if it's January 1st, and seeking after that goal.
Ray, what tips can you give us?
I believe you plan for success the day before. I believe that you have to make a decision. Not to decide is to decide. I'm going to make a decision that this is going to be the most positive day of my life. I decide today for tomorrow. I anticipate anything can be thrown at me. But how do I do that? If you use a day timer or a Franklin planner or you're using a computer to do your timekeeping, one of the strongest suggestions I can give you is right now. Don't put it off. Right now, I want you to come up with a list of positive things, statements that you've heard over the years that help motivate you. I was affected by the message of one man. His name is Mel Fisher. He's very well known for discovering a sunken treasure on the Senora de Atocha. It was a magnificent find, but it took 16 years for him to find that sunken treasure. The only way he motivated himself and other people around him was to say, today's the day. He was at a point where he couldn't even pay his crew. So the only encouragement he could give was his own words saying, today's the day. Well, that's one of the things that I write on top of my day timer and in my computer. I write, today's the day. I have at least 30 different things that I put on the top of each of my day timer pages to motivate me. And I plan that. I plan for success today. So I might say something like, ain't it great? Well, ain't it great is an attitude. It is great. Every day can be great. But let me tell you where that thought was born. I was in Tampa, Florida, waiting for a flight. I had a few extra minutes, so I had my shoes shined. Well, I went to the shoe shine shop, and there were two people shining shoes. There was an older gentleman with long hair. He had a ponytail. And on the left-hand side, there was a very large African-American woman who had the greatest personality you could ever hope for, a smile from ear to ear. And as I watched them both shine shoes, I was waiting next to be served, but as I watched them shine shoes, I noticed that the woman had a personality and she was into what she was doing and she was excited by shining shoes. And I hoped that she would be finished with the person she was working on so that I would be able to be the next person and have her shine my shoes. See, I was attracted to her attitude. She was positive. She reflected the enthusiasm. It was catchy. Well, I was fortunate, and I was the next person. I sat in her chair, and then she started on my shoes. But before she even started, she looked up at my lapel pin, and she saw an eagle. I wear a lapel eagle. It's our company logo. And she looks up at it, and she goes, what is that? And I said, well, it's an eagle. She goes, oh, I love eagles. And at that moment, it was incredible. Because as I shared with her why I wear the eagle, and I broke down the word eagle, and I told her what each letter stood for, I said the E stands for enthusiasm, the A stands for attitude, the G stands for goals, the L stands for love, and the E stands for effort. She looked up at me and she said, ain't it great? Well, the way she said ain't it great, it was miraculous. It was like, here was this lady shining my shoes, but she had the greatest, most positive attitude you could hope for. And then she said to me, let me tell you my story. And the story she shared with me was of her own life. She said, when I was a little girl, I was a daughter of a sharecropper, and I always dreamt that when I would grow up, I'd live in a small, beautiful white house with a white picket fence and black shutters. And you know what? She said, today, I live in a small, beautiful white house with a white picket fence and black shutters. And then she said, ain't it great? And I couldn't even hold back. I said back to her, ain't it great? But then she said, if only I had known then what I know now, today I'd be living in a big, beautiful white house with a white picket fence and black shutters. Do you know, her enthusiasm I caught. Here I was about to walk in and make a presentation for a large insurance audience. And here I was being paid to be positive and enthusiastic. And here I met somebody who was taking the dirt off of my shoes, who had a greater attitude. I'm grateful for Mrs. Cole because she taught me that it is great. But then she went on to say, you know, I go home to my kids and I go, kids, ain't it great? And they look back and say, mother, these days we say, isn't it great? And she looked back and said, ain't it great? No matter what anybody said to her, she decided it was going to be great. Mrs. Cole today is a dear friend. Every time I think of her, I get a warm fuzzy remembering her enthusiasm and the difference that she's made in her life and in my life. In the lives of hundreds of people that have heard me speak over the years, telling the story about Mrs. Cole, one of the greatest thrills of my life, to share her story at the Sheraton Grand Hotel in Tampa. The audience didn't know she was in the audience. And then at the very end of that story, I said, I'd like to introduce you to one of my heroes. And Mrs. Cole rose and was greeted with thunderous applause. And even to this day, people come up and say, hey, Ray, how's he, ain't it great, lady? Can you imagine if right now, in spite of your circumstances, you said, it is great, no matter what, it's great? See, you've heard for years about the glass being half empty or half full. Well, what do you want it to be? Is it half full? You know, just recently said, yeah, but it's got a crack in the glass. Well, guess what? Stay away from me. I don't need to catch your attitude. That's another coaching tip I'd give you. Stay away from negative people. Here's some things that you can do to make a positive difference as well. Write things like the winner's edge on top of your page. Write down different motivational things that you hear. If you see a quote, you read in the newspaper, you see a quote and you like it. Like, today's the day. It's January 1st. Write that at the top of the page. Whatever it's going to take to motivate you. In my own life, I know my priorities are God first, family second, business third. So on one page, I'll write God, and that reminds me to stay focused on my spiritual values. The next page, I'll write family, and that reminds me to make my family that priority, that they need my time, that love is spelt T-I-M-E. They deserve me at my best. And third is my career, my profession. Am I doing everything that I need to do to be a champion at work? The next thing I'll write down is knowledge is power. And boy, all of a sudden I become more hungry for more knowledge. Then I'll write down, no more excuses, with a great big exclamation point. See, I believe excuses are the tools of the incompetent. And those who specialize in them will amount to nothing and build monuments of nothingness. I want to put all kinds of things that are going to continue to motivate me. How about at home? There's a card that I give out in our seminars. And on the card it says, play like a champion today. I took that from the Notre Dame locker room and copied it because that's what the Notre Dame players do when they go onto the field. They actually touch this sign that says, play like a champion today. I have one in my office. Oftentimes, as I'm leaving the office, I'll touch the card and remind myself, play like a champion today. I'd challenge you to write on your bathroom mirror with a bar of soap. Write whatever your values are. Oftentimes, I'll write God, family, January 1st, or I'll write today's the day, right on my bathroom mirror. You know, when I even start out the day, the first thing I do in the morning is I want to remind myself of how positive that day is. See, I have some prayers. The first prayer that I pray in the morning is, dear God, please let my life catch up to my mouth. The second is that I'll be able to walk my talk. See, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to walk my talk. But you know what? I have this crazy belief. I believe that every day of my life I'm going to meet an angel. I just don't know who the angel is. Perhaps it's a server at a hotel. Perhaps it's somebody that I interact with in my own office. Perhaps it's the printer. I don't know who the angel is. But I know that if I treat every single person as if they're the angel, by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm going to have gotten to the angel. All of these things are real simple, but they work. They work in my life. People will come up to me and say, Ray, how do I remember this over and over and over again? Well, the philosophy of January 1st is simple, but it's profound. I need to be reminded all the time myself. So what do? I'd challenge you right now to put a penny in your right shoe. Now, I know that sounds kind of strange, but put a penny in your right shoe. I don't care if you have sneakers on or boots on, or I don't care if you have a brand new pair of loafers on. I want you to put a penny in your right shoe. And for 21 days, I want you to walk with a penny in your right shoe. That penny will remind you and be a constant reminder that every day of your life is a brand new beginning. It's January 1st. It'll remind you to stay positive. See, I believe staying positive is tough work. I believe that it's really, really important to stay focused. And the way to stay focused positively is to remind yourself to be positive. Oftentimes, I'll challenge people to wear a rubber band. And as soon as they start thinking a negative thought, I ask them to snap it. Well, I ask them to snap it because I want them to remind themselves that negativity will hurt them. Now, it's a simple technique, but it works. It reminds you to be positive. I'm very well known for asking people to wear Band-Aids on their right hand, on the back of their right hand, with the number 96 on it. Well, the reason I ask them to write 96 is psychologists tell us today that 96% of the time you and I think about ourselves. But I think true champions take their eyes off of themselves and look at other people's. And if you look at other people's Band-Aids and other people's hurts and what other people are dealing with, the stronger you'll be able to win. Don't forget, we're talking about the winning edge, the winner's edge. How do you do that? How do you win successfully day in and day out? How do you do it? Deciding. How do you do it? Building reinforcements all around you. Mick, as a young person, I had a school teacher that told me I was a nobody. In fact, she gave everybody else in the class a star but me one day. What's ironic is today in my meetings I give out little gold stars. If you go to the airport with me, you might be embarrassed because I have little gold stars on my suitcases. I have little gold stars all over the place. Why? Because I can give myself stars. I'm not going to wait for a first grade teacher who doesn't believe in me to give me a star. I'm going to give myself a star. And do you know what? I have a stars mentality because I believe it's really simple. If you treat yourself like a champion, you input positive information, and you stay focused, you can be a star every day of your life. And don't anybody steal. Remember the penny. It's a strong reinforcement. There's many, many things that you can do. In fact, one of the things I suggest a lot of people do is they wear a pair of sunglasses even when it's not too bright out, just to remind themselves that the future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Years ago, I heard a preacher say, expect a miracle today. I love that teaching, expect a miracle today. And every day I expect a miracle. And I'm going to find my miracle. You know what? I'm going to get to the angel too. You know what? I'm going to stay focused one day at a time.
Ray, how do I stay focused and stop making excuses?
I'm really glad you asked me that question because it's amazing. Oftentimes people concentrate on the wrong things. And sometimes what I do in my seminars is I'll use a great big softball. And I'll ask people, I'll go ahead and involve them in the presentation. I'll say, who doesn't catch very well from your childhood? From your childhood, who didn't catch very well? And somebody will volunteer, and I'll bring them up to the front. And I'll say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to concentrate on the ball, but when I throw you the ball, what I want you to do is I want you to see the spin of the ball. I want you to be able to concentrate on the lacings of the ball. And as I throw it to them, they catch the ball. And then I'll say, now watch which way I put the spin on it. Is it forward or backwards or to the right or to the left? And they're so concentrating on the direction of the spin of the ball or the lacings of the ball that they always catch the ball. It's amazing. I bounce it off the floor or off the ceiling, but they catch it because they're concentrating on the right things. So that's what I think you need to do, is you need to concentrate on the right things. What are the things you really want in the first place? What is it you're really trying to accomplish? And then if you concentrate on those things which are going to help you get there, then it'll make all the difference in the world. Now, you also asked me the question about how do I stop making excuses? Well, I got to tell you, in my seminars and in our books, this is what we talk about. How do you stop making excuses? And it was just a year and a half ago that I was very honored by Phil Niekro, former Major League Baseball pitcher, very famous for throwing a knuckleball, and a future Hall of Famer. He played for the Atlanta Braves. And Phil has been a friend of mine for years. Well, he was given an assignment and a great opportunity to become the manager and coach of the Colorado Silver Bullets, the first women's professional baseball team. And I was honored. I worked with the team for 8 weeks in spring training. But I met with a young woman the night before. And as we met in the hotel, and I said, tell me the things that really worry you about baseball. Tell me the things you're concerned about trying out. Now, 1,800 young women tried out for the team from all over the country, but only 49 made it to spring training in Orlando. I wish you could have been there. If you had been there, what you would have seen is me out in left field the second day of their practice with the team. All females on the team and all male coaches standing in the back, every one of them with years and years of major league experience. But what we did is we involved the young woman in playing a game. The first thing we did is we played Simon Says. Because I always ask people, who's Simon in your life? I want to find out who's coached you and what influences you had in your life. But then I had them look out into the stands. And the stands were empty. Now, there were tons of press there. USA Today was there, ABC Good Morning America, the CBS Morning Show. Everybody was there. In fact, they had me all wired, and I was on television with this. It was exciting stuff for me. What I did is the young woman the night before had told me, the thing I'm afraid of is I'm afraid of baseball. I'm very comfortable with softball. See, all of them had years of experience of playing softball, but they didn't have any experience at all playing baseball. And now they were making a major change to go from a softball to a baseball. But to be very candid with you, I didn't think it was such a big deal. Until they went on to say, you know what, I also am not allowed to play with an aluminum bat any longer. In the major leagues, as a professional baseball player, I'm going to be asked to play with a wooden bat. Well, a wooden bat's very heavy. How do I play with a wooden bat? I've never played with a wooden bat before. I'm afraid of it. So now I was dealing with, first of all, afraid of going to a baseball, afraid of a wooden bat, They're playing a game they're not familiar with, and they're going to be competing against men on the field with men. So when I asked them, I said, well, what are you really afraid of? One of the young ladies said to me, I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of going onto the field with a man who's throwing a baseball at 95 miles an hour at my head because he doesn't want me on his field. He doesn't want me to have that chance to play Major League Baseball. But it's my dream. See, they started by saying, my goal is to become a professional baseball player. So I had a challenge to get them to get beyond their excuses. See, the excuse was, I'm comfortable. The excuse was, I don't know how to make a change. So after we played Simon Says, I had asked all of them to follow me. We walked from left field all the way down around home plate, outside of first baseline, and we walked outside the stadium, in front of the Citrus Bowl. And the groundskeeper had dug a grave for me. And I had all of the players stand in a semicircle in front of the grave. And then I asked for three women to volunteer. And they did. I asked them to be a pallbearer. And what I did is I handed them a brand new softball. And then I explained to them that the softball they needed to put behind them. They needed to get beyond that. Well, I was pretty amazed because what I do is I mentally rehearse every program that I do. Before I do a program, I see that program. I see the room. In fact, when I get on site to do a program, I get down and experience the colors of the room, and I own the room. It's owning the house, if you will. So I had rehearsed this in my mind, but I promise you I had never seen this before. Here's what happened. When I asked them, why do you love softball so much? Now, I had rehearsed it in my mind, but what happened was totally different. What they said was, Coach, what you don't know is that softball has been my college education. It's been my ticket to travel across the globe using softball and the game of softball as that ticket. They love softball, but what amazed me is they started to cry. One by one, the tears would just come down because they had to say goodbye to something that was a good friend to them. They found significance in. But what I had them do is I had them put the softball into the grave. Then I had three other people stand there, and I handed them the aluminum bat. And we went through the same exercise until they put that into the grave. And then each player and each coach went over and took a shovel full of dirt and they threw it into the grave. But Michelle McElhaney, I'll never forget her as long as I live. She's a little peanut, just a little bitty girl. I'm telling you what, she stands 5 foot nothing, and I got to tell you, she's just a little thing. But as she took that shovel full of dirt, she spit, she went on the grave. It was incredible because she had such determination that each player saw her do that. It was amazing as they all threw the dirt. They covered up their excuses. They went beyond their excuses. Then we go into the clubhouse. And as we're sitting in the clubhouse, all of the young women are seated in a semicircle. They had eaten lunch first. Now they're seated in a semicircle. And then I asked them. I said, one by one, I said, I want you to tell me out loud what's your favorite excuse. And do you know, each person told me their excuse. They said, well, I've got bad ankles, and I always blame my ankles. Or, I've never been coached by men before. I've never played with a baseball before. And they came up one by one with their excuses. And as soon as they had all identified what their excuse was, and the amazing thing to me was that every single person knew their excuse. Every single person knew which one. You know, I got a bad ankle, I don't feel good, or, you know, I don't know exactly how to hit a certain pitcher. Those kinds of things. Each person knew exactly what their excuse was. Once I identified it, I challenged each and every one of them to say, at the count of three, what I want you to do is I want you to spit on your excuse. Now, fortunately, no spit left their mouth, but I had them go ahead, and every single person at the count of three went, and they spit. And that's what I'm asking each and every person right now to do. I want you to spit on your excuses. Don't you dare tell me you don't have the best education. Don't you dare tell me what you lack. Tell me what you've got. Tell me that you're willing to go out onto the field of life and play to the best of your ability. No more excuses. You focus on that ball. You focus on the direction of the ball. Don't worry about catching it. You'll catch the ball if you concentrate on the right things. No more excuses. Stop making excuses.
Ray, one of my all-time favorite January 1st stories is about the escape artists.
Oh, I love that one myself. I have to tell you, Mick, for years I've been sharing this with people, and it's helped so many different people. Here's what took place. Nearly 75 years ago in a small town in England, they invited the greatest escape artist known to that century, his name was Eric Weiss, to this small prison. And what they did is they challenged him, And in that day, $20,000 was a lot of money. But they said, we'll give you $20,000 if you successfully escape. Well, he was challenged, but he'd never been beaten before. So what they did is the constable took Eric Weiss and they led him into a jail cell. And then he closed the door behind him, and on the wall, the clock started to tick. Well, he had 20 minutes in which to escape, but after 5 minutes, he couldn't get out. Normally, he'd bring the pick in his hair, but this time, it didn't work. Something was wrong. 10 minutes went by. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 minutes passed, and for the first time in his life, he failed. But he was a champion. And so what he said is, I don't want to quit. Now, most of the crowd left. Most of the people left. There was only a handful remaining after 7.5 hours. See, he stayed there for 7.5 hours. But finally, after all that time, he finally said, I quit! And the constable walked over, put his hand on the big iron door, and just pulled it open. See, it was never locked. It was only locked in his mind.
As we conclude Side 1 of The Winner's Edge, How to Have the Best Year of Your Life, Ray is proud to present Mr. Ken Miedema and his vision of the Permission to Win philosophy, entitled January 1st.
I swear I've never seen the sun shine brighter, and the morning never felt so good against my face. I feel just like a young child skipping down a country road, or like a well-tuned engine that's fueled up and geared up and ready to win this race. Gotta win this race. Because it's January 1st, it's a brand new year, and I can see the rising sun. Yesterday's gone, and the files are clear.
Continues now.
I wonder what you have locked in your mind. I have a friend of mine who's a famous motivational speaker and author from Dallas, Texas. His name is Zig Ziglar. I'm sure many of you have heard him. Zig is a phenomenal speaker, but he tells a story that I love. He tells a story about a baby flea. And years ago, they'd have these little flea circuses. And what the flea trainer would do is they'd take this baby little flea and they'd put him inside of a medicine bottle, and then they'd put the cap on top of the medicine bottle. And the flea, natural instinct was to jump, like ours is, to get ahead. And the little flea would jump until it hit his head and go, boy, that hurts. And he'd jump again and go, boy, that hurts, until it developed this little bump on top of his head. until he knew how high he could jump. See, he'd still jump, but he'd jump just shy of the top of the bottle. And then, after 3 days, the flea trainer would take off the lid, put the little flea out on the table, and the rest of his life, he had only jumped the height of the bottle. I wonder if you have something that's holding you back right now. What's your excuse? Cut it out. Get rid of the lid. You're better than that. Stop it. These are words that I like to challenge people with. I like these words. When something negative happens to you, or you hear something negative about yourself, or somebody tells you something that's either dishonoring or takes away your power, simply, instantly program yourself to say, I'm better than that. I'm sorry, I'm better than that. And just don't accept it. You know, I recently did a meeting for Bayer in Cancun, Mexico. And a young woman came up to me at the break and she said, hey, coach, I've got a great story for you. When I was in college, I had a college professor who challenged me and told me there's only two kinds of people in this world. There's the Velcro people and the Teflon people. See, with Velcro, everything sticks to you. So if there's a negative attitude, it sticks to you. But a Teflon person lets it just roll off of them. With things like, I'm better than that. And see, that's the key, is I'm better than that. Positive self-talk that helps you win.
Boy, Ray, I really take that to heart. I can't tell you how many times I've lived the flea story. And I know it's always in retrospect that I see that I wasn't willing to go above the jar, above the rim, as it were.
Because it represents hurt. And, you know, all of a sudden we say, you know, I've been hurt before. You know, I try something and I get hurt. And you know what? So what?
I don't think that there's anybody listening to these tapes that have had the opportunity to hear you live as many times as I have and live and attempt to live the message every day. And I know that I'm inspired by a lot of the things that you say and do and the experiences that we've had together and the experiences that you've related to me. But geez, Ray, how do you keep going back to the well? How do you keep getting up and dusting off? That's the part that, I mean, that's the key to life, wouldn't you say? I mean, how many times do you get back up?
Well, I have one life. And I recognize if you look at this life, I've got an option. And if my life's dream and mission, and those people listening to me need to know my vision for my life, is that I want people to say that I touched their life positively. Well, how in the world can I touch their life positively if I've copped out and I'm not positive? So who is responsible for my attitude? Mick, I'll tell you what I do in the seminars. I ask people in the seminar, I need your help. And I tell them a little story. I say, I've just bought out the company. And what I want to do is I want to make you the senior vice president. I'm going to give you tons of money for doing so. But what I want you to do is I want you to tell me what it is that we would be looking for in replacing you in the organization. And all of a sudden people from the audience say integrity and a great attitude and somebody with a sense of humor. And they keep going through until there's normally 23, 24, 25 different items. And then I start processing that with the audience and I say, okay, help me. Is that an attitude? Or is that a skill? And I go through each of the words, and the audience bellows back whichever response it is. No, that's an attitude. 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 No, that's a skill. Until it's amazing to me, Mick, of the entire list, probably two or three things are skill. And all of a sudden they get this major aha that the most important thing that we bring to work with us is our positive attitude. Attitude is everything. How do I stay focused? I listened to a motivational tape this morning. I listened to a tape this morning from the National Speakers Association from one of my fellow speakers on the craft of speaking. I'm sharpening my axe every single day. I'm intaking positive information every day. I don't like to listen to garbage radio talk shows that are going to program me negatively. I don't want any more than 35 minutes of news in the course of a day. I don't want people bumming me out. I want to intake positive. But the only person responsible for the intake is me. It's like eating. I struggle with my weight. I am the person that makes the decision on what enters through these lips. Nobody else. Nobody else will be held accountable for my life but me. So if I'm responsible for my life, I want to live a life that's loaded with excitement and fun. And I'm the one that's responsible for programming my computer. It doesn't matter that when I was in the first grade, I had a teacher tell me I was stupid. So what? That's December 31st. I'm letting go of that. I'm better than that. And that's what I want our friends listening to us to do right now and say, wait a minute, let me claim this year by one day at a time to say I am a champion, I have permission to win. It doesn't matter what day of the month that they're listening to this tape, but to give themselves permission to make this the first day of the rest of their life with no excuses.
You know, Ray, I don't think I was ever more profoundly impacted than when you drove home the point that no one can emotionally beat you up unless you let them.
It's my decision, saying I'm better than that. I am not going to allow what any other human being thinks of me. Now, to tell you the truth, I'm sensitive. I mean, I think I have a lot of my mom's personality in me, and, you know, if I'm not careful, I can let things hurt me or steal from me. But if I say to myself, Mick, see, I believe every single human being is entitled to 5 minutes of pity a day. I believe everybody listening to us right now, you deserve a five-minute pity party. I mean, some of you are going to be downsized this year. Some of you are going to face challenges in your life this year. You can make a decision right now as to how you're going to handle that. I'll give you an example. I was formerly married to a wonderful woman. I mean, we had 25 years of a fabulous life together. We have two magnificent children. Kimberly Faith is 25 years of age, and Ray Jr. is 24. We all love each other. But my former wife and I decided we were going to have the most positive divorce we could have. Well, one of the challenges was to maintain a positive attitude through pain, because both of us were hurt. But we made the decision to do that. I don't care what anyone faces. How about facing death? As an example, my former wife, her mom, and I are very close. Well, recently, she passed on. Well, I had made a decision to have a plan for things that would happen in my life. So my ex and I talked about what would happen if your mom died. She's from Venezuela. Would I go to Venezuela for the funeral? How would I handle it? Emotionally, it was like my mom, too. But because we had a plan, when the crisis came, we knew exactly how to handle it because we had prepared for it. Most people don't prepare for success or for tragedy. Most people don't have a game plan. But I learned from the former coach, Paul Bear Bryant, who said you have to have a plan and a plan for everything. So this year, I have a plan for winning. But occasionally, you lose a ball game. You know, every championship team I've ever worked with has experienced loss. But every great coach that I know says you learn more from losing than you do from winning. Well, if you have a winning attitude and you want the winner's edge, what you've got to do is have a plan and a plan for everything for this year to win. But you've got to have that down and know what it is.
Ray, in this edition of The Winner's Edge, we've discussed the various concepts that all keep tying back into the January 1st message. But tell us, especially the listeners who don't know you as well as we do, tell us how you actually spend January 1st.
Well, I'm privileged because I live in Miami, Florida, and I say that with great enthusiasm because I think I live in one of the greatest cities in the entire planet. But one thing that happens here is we're blessed with one of the greatest parades known to man called the Orange Bowl Parade. And what I do is every year I go to a hotel downtown Miami, and we rent a couple of suites. And I invite both friends and family and a number of business acquaintances and just special people in my life. And I invite those people to join in a great celebration. And what we do is we all bring the new year in together. Now, please keep in mind that January 1st, literally, the new year, is honestly just another day to me because I truly believe it's January 1st. But I want everybody to experience that magic with me. In fact, in the year 2000 and the year 2001, we're going to plan a smash party. So anybody listening, you might want to go ahead and reserve that date because we're going to have a big, incredible time.
Book your reservations early.
And it doesn't matter if you're a team or an individual. Winning is a decision.
You know, you spoke to that issue to a football team on January 1st. Tell me about that story.
You know, I've been privileged, Mick. I've spoken to a number of teams on January 1st, and the reason for that is that January 1st is a very famous bowl day, and I've been very privileged to speak for numerous teams in championship settings. But I think the one you're referring to is Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Late 1989, Dennis Erickson, the head football coach from the University of Miami, asked me to come in to help prepare the University of Miami for a national championship. And I got to tell you, it was an exciting time. It was exciting for me because I was a Hurricane fan, but also to be with these athletes. And I'm going to be very candid with you. You know, I believe they would have won the game with or without me. They were so focused, they knew what they wanted, and without a doubt, I believe they were already prepared. Now, we did give them, you know, we gave them Eagles. They were Eagles, and they put a penny in their shoe. They played the entire game with a penny in their cleats, and it was an amazing situation. However, in order for Miami to become national champions, two things had to happen. The first thing was that Miami was going to have to beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. The second thing is that the University of Notre Dame was going to have to come to Miami and beat the University of Colorado in the Orange Bowl. Now, Mick, the challenge to that was that Notre Dame was an awesome football team. That was the year Tony Rice led them into tremendous victories. I mean, a young, fabulous quarterback. The team themselves was the current national champions. In fact, that particular season, they had gone undefeated for the entire season until the last game of the season. In the last game of the season, they came to Miami, and they lost to Miami in the Orange Bowl. Good for Miami, bad for Notre Dame. Now, keep in mind that it was an awesome football team. For 10 years, they were not able to win in the Orange Bowl. They had a psychological block, no different than the people listening to us right now have psychological blocks about something in their life. So now, I've already spoken to Miami. We know Notre Dame needs to win. I had met Coach Holtz, and Coach Holtz had invited me and called me in to help prepare the University of Notre Dame to play Colorado. So I would be the first speaker in history to speak before two major bowl games, a current national champion, and perhaps a future national champion, in the same time period to be able to prepare both of them for championships. Well, Mick, I'll tell you what. Frankly, I wasn't a fabulous Notre Dame fan. Now, I always had tremendous respect for Notre Dame. I always liked the magic and mystique of Notre Dame, but I wasn't a big fan, for I was a Miami fan. However, that day, I became one. I'll never forget standing in front of those players. And as Coach Holtz introduced me, he played a videotape, and he said, "Men, this is the last time we're going to see this together as a team." And he hit the videotape. And it was the history of Notre Dame football. You could see the goosebumps. You could see the hair rising on the neck. You could see the tears coming down these guys' faces as they saw it for the last time. Here this team had gone absolutely undefeated until the last game of the season. Coach Holtz told me after they lost to Miami and they flew out of Miami, the players closed the shades on the plane. They went back to South Bend. They practiced. They flew back to Miami for the big game, January 1st, Orange Bowl. All of a sudden, as they're flying back into Miami, they close the shades. Players and coaches close the shades. What's that tell you? They'd already lost. That's why the coach brought me in. So it was amazing. As I stood before him, I had him affirm, why did they deserve to win? And secondly, who they were playing for. And at that particular moment, they made a commitment. I called the co-captains to the front of the room, and I said, "Okay, guys, I want to know right out of your own lips, why do you all deserve to win?" And then as soon as the co-captains told me, I took an imaginary Orange Bowl trophy and I handed it to the players. Now, it was imaginary, but they held on to it like it was a very valuable, precious commodity. Then I turned to players and I said to them, I said, "Why do you deserve it?" And they reassured me why they deserved it. See, I believe people win before they ever play. Winning is a decision. So what I did is I gave them the victory. So now all they had to do was to go out and get it. They earned it. It was already theirs. So mentally, they had permission. They had permission. They had won it. And you know when you're given something, you'll fight for it. But if you go onto the field of life saying, "Can I do this?" the emotion changes. I want you to say, "I've already won," and then expect it to come to you. Mick, it was amazing. Coach Holtz invited me to be on the sidelines. It was amazing. If you saw the game, you'd see me standing very close to Coach Holtz. Do you know why I stood so close? I wanted to be on national TV. See, I had told my mom, "Mom, when you see me on TV and when I stroke my beard, I'm telling you that I love you." It was very special. See, I dedicated the game to my mom. It was amazing stuff. Well, third quarter, Notre Dame's winning but struggling. An offensive tackle comes running off the field and looks down at me and says, "Hey, coach, you sure we're still going to win?" I said, "Man, I promise you we're going to win." He reaches down, pulls off his helmet, sweaty, yucky. He picks me up, no easy feat, and gives me a kiss. And he sets me down. I'm praying we're not on national television. Well, the game ends. Notre Dame wins 21-6. Miami wins. Miami becomes national champions. Notre Dame becomes Orange Bowl champions. We go into the clubhouse. Everybody's hugging. You've seen the videotape of this, Mick. Everybody's hugging and celebrating. And then Coach Holtz turns to me and says, "Ray, thanks for giving us permission to win." And then he throws me the game ball. I'll never forget it as long as I live. That night, sports writers start calling me, interviews all over the country, and the little boy in me loved every second of it. My kids came home celebrating. They had seen their dad on TV. They thought it was hot stuff. They loved it, and so did I. See, that was my one moment in time. That was the thrill of victory. And the next morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning, my brother Jerry called me from Amherst, New Hampshire. said, "Hey, Jer, how you doing?" He had watched the game with my mom, and I knew he was going to say how great the game was, but he didn't. Mick, what he said is the worst words I've ever heard in my life. He said, "Ray, Mom just died." And my hero had died. See, I had gone from the thrill of victory to the agony of defeat, just like that. And my hero was gone. In this studio, you can see my rings. I've got 9 championship rings. But I give them all up just for one more hug from my mom. I miss my mom so much. There's a hole in my heart, and I miss her so bad. But you know what? People are listening to us right now, and they're saying, yeah, well, there are thrills and victories. And, you know, there are real lows. And life is full of them. There's mountaintops and there's valleys. But a January 1st attitude can help you through them all. The greatest motivational treat of my life was to be with Lou Holtz and the University of Notre Dame football team in that victory. I mean, what a tremendous thrill. A fabulous speaker. Coach Holtz, fabulous speaker. He's paid tons of money to speak in the finest venues in the world. And that he honored me by asking me to come in to speak to his team. What a thrill. But what a loss. I lost my mom. As you're listening to us today, you need to understand that a year can be loaded with loss. It can be loaded with victory. But what you have to do is decide how you're going to handle that loss right now. To whom much is given, much is required. Today's the day. It's January 1st. You're no different than a football player right now, a basketball player, a baseball player, no matter where you're at in life. I don't care what you do, what your station is in life, how much money you have or how little money you have. It's time for you to say, no more excuses. This is the greatest year of my life. No more excuses. I am the best me that God ever made. Today's the day, and I have permission to win.
Ray, early in your career, there was somebody that was really, really impacted by the January 1st message. Can you tell us that story?
Well, he's a very successful young entrepreneurial business person who was involved in a multi-level marketing company who had a very special friend, and he wanted me to call him because he was struggling so much. Well, I picked up the phone, and I called him, and the situation was tragic because as successful as he was, there was a robbery at his home. And unfortunately, the robbers shot him in the head, and it left him paralyzed, and it was an awful situation. Here was an athlete. Here was somebody who ran every day and who was recognized for success. He had all the toys, a magnificent home, magnificent automobiles, flew all over the world in jets and helicopters and had the greatest life in the world. And then one incident completely changed his life. So the day that I called him, he knew I was going to call. And as soon as he heard my voice, he began to cry. And I said, "John, it's Ray Pelletier." And he said, "Yes, I know." And I said, "John, are you crying out of hurt or you're emotionally hurting?" And he shared it was emotional hurting. Well, it wasn't long after that conversation that I had the privilege of meeting with him in his home. And I'll never forget being in his home as he sat there and he kind of nodded to me and pointed to a picture of himself running on the beach. And it was a beautiful picture, but I went over and tore it off the wall. See, he had new goals now. He had to have new goals. That wasn't a realistic goal at that particular moment in his life. What he needed to do was climb the next mountain. There's people listening to us, Mick, right now that have just found out they have cancer. And right now they have to take ownership of the cancer and say, "I'm going to fight this with the best attitude I can." Some of them have what I call business cancer, and that's a negative attitude. Right now we're going to deal with that. Say, you know what, let's cut it out. Let's stop that. If we could get everybody right now just to trust us enough to say the words after me, "I'm better than that." In fact, I'm going to challenge everyone listening right now. If you're in your automobile or at home, I want you to say these words after me. "I'm a champion. I'm a winner. Hey, I have permission to win. No more excuses. Today's the day. It's January 1st. I want to find an angel out there. I want to touch somebody's life today. I'm going to stop crying. I'm going to start changing. I'm going to take the lid off of myself. I'm going to walk out of that cell." See, Mick, the amazing part of the story about Eric Weiss, the amazing part of that whole story, it was only locked in his mind. But every person listening to this tape right now knows the stage name of that performer. See, his name, Eric Weiss, the son of a rabbi, the greatest illusionist of his time, we all know his stage name. His stage name is Harry Houdini. See, Harry Houdini walked away from his failure. He walked out of that cell. That's all we need to do right now. To make a positive difference, that's what we need to do. But every human being that I know has been placed on this planet to make a difference. I truly believe that our life is God's gift to us. What we make our life is our gift back to God. I was in Jacksonville, Florida with you. I had the opportunity of being there to speak at a celebrity roast that you and your associate Dan Casey had invited me to speak at. Well, in preparation, it was being televised. You remember the story. There were lots of people in the ballroom. And to be very candid with you, I was very nervous. I wanted to do everything that I could do to be successful that evening so people would learn more about spina bifida. I wanted them to understand their personal responsibility to find a cure for this terrible disease. And I was nervous. In fact, we were going to roast Phil Niekro, the baseball player. And I decided ahead of time to just go clear the cobwebs out of my mind and to just get out and pump myself up a little bit. And it was a Sheraton at St. John's Place at that time where the event was being held. And very close to the hotel was a place called Treaty Oak. And it's a very famous location in Jacksonville where a famous treaty was signed. But this magnificent oak tree, I had never seen one like it before. You had to walk under the branches of the tree. It had a huge base to the tree. And I went for the walk with Phil Niekro Jr., Phil's son. And what I did is I asked Phil to go sit on one of the branches, and he went on the other side of the tree, and he sat on a branch, and I sat on my branch. And I said to Phil, I want you to jump on your branch as much as you could. And he did, and the leaves shook a little bit on his branch. And then I sat on my branch, and I jumped. What we were trying to do was get all the leaves on the whole tree to shake, but we were unsuccessful. We weren't able to do it. The tree was so massive. And some of the branches had grown down into the ground, and they were solid. They were rooted into the ground. And as much as we jumped, as large as I was, and trying to jump and get the leaves to go, no matter what we did, we couldn't shake up all the leaves. And God gave me the gift of this thought. It wasn't my job to get the whole tree to shake. It was my job to take responsibility for my branch. And if I jumped on my branch, and Phil Jr. jumped on his, and you jumped on yours, and everyone jumped on their branch, then we could shake the whole world up. But a lot of people say, well, if I can't shake the whole tree, then I don't want to play. And I'm saying you have a responsibility to play at your best.
Ray, one person in today's headlines that seems to be living the January 1st message, I have no idea if he even knows about it, is actor Christopher Reeve and the tragedy that he experienced. And the inspiration that he's become to people, I mean, you know, you must know the story about what happened and falling off the horse.
I know the story very well. In fact, he's an inspiration. I live in Miami, and therefore Mark Bonacani, who was a young athlete here, unfortunately suffered a career-ending and life-changing event when he was hurt in a football injury. And as a result of that, tons of positives have happened. As an example, we now have the Miami Project, which millions of dollars were raised by his dad, Nick Bonacani, former Miami Dolphin great, and Mark. Fabulous, fabulous center, trying to find the cure for paralysis. When I saw Barbara Walters interview Christopher Reeve, she gave us a gift. And the gift Barbara was able to give us was an insight into a man that I had never known before that. Now, I've seen the profile of his life. I've seen a number of specials now on him. I've seen what he's been able to do. But there's a man who, out of crisis, made opportunity. But here's a woman behind the man who said, wait a minute, nothing is going to steal from this experience. When I ask people about Superman in my seminars today, and I say, tell me about Superman, and then I talk about one situation. See, he met, as an actor, a role, and he played a role that he was Superman. And do you know, Mick, I believe in your life and in mine and everyone's hearing us right now, at times we've wanted to be Superman too. And we've kind of had our cape on, and we want to be Superman, and we want our kids to think of us as Superman, and we want to be absolutely perfect. And in reality, there's a lot of kryptonite in my life and yours, and occasionally there's things that happen that steal our power. And you know what? I'm not God. And the reality is, there's no such thing as Superman. Now, there's a Santa Claus, but there's no such thing as Superman. Do you know what? I wonder what kryptonite is. I know what kryptonite is to everyone listening to us right now. You know what kryptonite is, Mick? It's a negative attitude. It's December 31st thinking. Christopher Reeves has January 1st thinking. Has he ever heard me speak? Probably not. Does he know the January 1st message? Probably not. But do you know what? He's a professor of that message. I wish people right now would say and understand what my friend W. Mitchell says. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. And a very special friend of mine, Glenn McCusker, says, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. I like what Pat Riley says. You're either in or you're out. And another friend, Lou Holt, says, the word win stands for what's important now. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe what's important right now is you're giving yourself permission to make this the greatest year of your life, to live every single day as if it's January 1st, to spit on your excuses and start all over again today. This is Ray Pelletier wishing you that every day would be January 1st in your life and that you'd make a decision right now to seize the day. Today's the day. It's January 1st. God bless you as you make this the greatest year of your life.
This concludes this edition of The Winner's Edge. Take Ray's philosophy to heart. Put it into practice in your business and personal life. See how quickly your approach to life's opportunities changes for the better. Share this message with family, friends, coworkers. You'll be amazed at how much better home and office life can be when you live with permission to win. This tape's a production of the Pelletier Group and was produced by Creative Services Company. All rights reserved. If you like what you hear, just call us at 1-800-SPEAKER. Find out how you can get Ray's book, Permission to Win, and our other learning resources on sales, customer service, and coaching. If you're interested in having Ray speak at your next program, just give us a call. We'd be pleased to work with you. For Ray and all of us at the Pelletier Group, I'm Nick Rizzo. Have a better than terrific day, because you've now got the winner's edge.
I swear I've never seen the sun shine brighter, and the morning never felt so good against my face. I feel just like a young child skipping down a country road, or like a well-tuned engine that's fueled up and geared up and ready to win this race. Gotta win this race. It's on January 1st. It's a brand new year and I can see the rising sun. Yesterday is gone and the files are clear. Time with so much promise, and while the skeptics merely blink and yawn, I'll see the day. I'll give it all my best and I'll sleep happy tonight. And if the road I am traveling runs into a wall, I'll discover